Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom and this is the third part of the cardiology short answer questions series. If you like these short answer questions, you can find them in a written format as well as multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, digital flashcards and other resources at members.zerotofinals.com. Membership costs £9.60 a month and you can cancel at any time. I recommend you give it a try and I'm sure it will become your go-to resource for testing and tracking your learning so that you're ready for your exams. But without further ado, let's get straight into these cardiology questions. Question 117. What term describes when the heart septum blocks blood flow from the left ventricle in hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy? Left ventricular outflow tract obstruction. Question 118. What is the genetic inheritance of hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy? Autosomal dominant. Question 119. What murmur may be heard in hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy? An ejection systolic murmur at the lower left sternal border. Question 120. What imaging options establish the diagnosis of hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy? An echocardiogram or a cardiac MRI scan. Question 121. What valve pathology commonly occurs with hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy? Mitral regurgitation. Question 122. What medications are avoided with hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy? ACE inhibitors and nitrates. Question 123. What condition is associated with a rapid onset of left ventricular dysfunction and weakness, often following severe emotional stress? Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Question 124. What genetic condition involves the heart muscle being progressively replaced with fibrofatty tissue and becoming prone to ventricular arrhythmias? Arrhythmogenic cardiomyopathy. Question 125. What are the most common causes of atrial fibrillation? You can use the Smith mnemonic, S for sepsis, M for mitral valve pathology, I for ischemic heart disease, T for thyrotoxicosis, and H for hypertension. Question 126. What lifestyle factors can cause atrial fibrillation? Alcohol and caffeine. Question 127. What are the ECG findings in atrial fibrillation? Absent P waves, a narrow QRS complex tachycardia, and irregularly irregular ventricular rhythm. Question 128. What are the two principles of treating atrial fibrillation? Rate or rhythm control and anticoagulation to prevent strokes. Question 129. What is the most common long-term combination of medications for atrial fibrillation? A beta blocker, for example, bisoprolol, and a DOAC, for example, apixaban. Question 130. What drug is the usual pill-in-the-pocket treatment for paroxysmal atrial fibrillation? Flecainide. Question 131. What scoring system assesses whether a patient with atrial fibrillation should start anticoagulation? The CHADS-VASc score. Question 132. What scoring system assesses the risk of major bleeding in patients with atrial fibrillation taking anticoagulation? The ORBIT score. Question 133. What are the four differentials of a narrow complex tachycardia? Sinus tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, and supraventricular tachycardia. Question 134. Where are electrical signals normally generated in the heart? The sinoatrial node. Question 135. What is the name of the electrical gateway between the atria and the ventricles? The atrioventricular or AV node. Question 136. When can supraventricular tachycardia cause a broad complex tachycardia? When the patient also has a bundle branch block. Question 137. What is the name for the extra electrical pathway in Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome? The bundle of Kent. Question 138. What are the ECG changes in Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome? A short PR interval, less than 0.12 seconds, a wide QRS complex, greater than 0.12 seconds, and the delta wave. Question 139. What is the definitive management of Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome? Radiofrequency ablation of the accessory pathway. Question 140. What is the first step in attempting to terminate an episode of supraventricular tachycardia? Vagal maneuvers. Question 141. What is the usual initial medication used to terminate an episode of supraventricular tachycardia? Adenosine. How is this given? As a rapid IV bolus into a large proximal cannula. What doses are given? Six milligrams, and then if required, 12 milligrams, and then if required, 18 milligrams. Question 142. What is the next step of terminating an episode of supraventricular tachycardia when medication options fail? Synchronized DC cardioversion. Question 143. What treatment can permanently resolve the problem of recurrent episodes of supraventricular tachycardia? Radiofrequency ablation. Question 144. What are the shockable cardiac arrest rhythms? Ventricular tachycardia, or VT, and ventricular fibrillation, or VF. Question 145. What are the non-shockable cardiac arrest rhythms? pulseless electrical activity and asystole. Question 146. What is used to treat ventricular tachycardia in hemodynamically stable patients? IV amiodarone. What about polymorphic ventricular tachycardia, for example, torsade de pointe? IV magnesium. What is the treatment if either occurs with life-threatening features? Synchronized DC cardioversion. Question 147. What is the atrial rate in atrial flutter? Around 300 beats per minute. What would be the ventricular rate in a 2-to-1 block? Around 150 beats per minute. What about in a 3-to-1 block in atrial flutter? Around 100 beats per minute. Question 148. At what point is the QT interval considered prolonged? More than 440 milliseconds in men and 460 milliseconds in women. Question 149. Which arrhythmia is most associated with a prolonged QT interval? Torsade de pointe. Question 150. What does the term bigeminy describe on an ECG? When every other beat is a ventricular ectopic. Question 151. What causes individual random abnormal broad QRS complexes on an otherwise normal ECG? Ventricular ectopics. Question 152. What are the ECG criteria for first degree heart block? A PR interval greater than 0.2 seconds, and every P wave is followed by a QRS complex. Question 153. What are the types of second degree heart block? Mobitz type 1, which is Wenckebach phenomenon, and Mobitz type 2. Question 154. What type of heart block causes an increasing PR interval until a QRS complex does not follow a P wave? Mobitz type 1, or Wenckebach phenomenon. Question 155. What type of heart block results in a regular pattern of only some P waves leading to QRS complexes? For example, 3 P waves for each QRS complex. Mobitz type 2. Question 156. What type of heart block involves no observable relationship between the P waves and the QRS complexes? Third degree heart block, which is also called complete heart block. Question 157. What is the first line medication used in unstable patients with bradycardia? Intravenous atropine. Question 158. What short-term intervention may be used in unstable patients with bradycardia? Temporary cardiac pacing. What are the options for delivering this intervention? Transcutaneous pacing or transvenous pacing? Question 159. What types of heart block would be an indication for a pacemaker? Mobitz type 2 and third degree heart block. Question 160. Where might the lead be sited in a patient with a single chamber pacemaker? Either in the right atrium or the right ventricle. What would decide which of these sites is used? The right atrium would be used if the issue is with the sinoatrial node, and the right ventricle would be used if conduction through the atrioventricular node is abnormal. Question 161. Where are the pacemaker leads sited in cardiac resynchronization therapy, or CRT? There are three leads, one in the right atrium, one in the right ventricle, and one in the left ventricle. Question 162. What device is inserted into the chest and delivers a defibrillator shock if it identifies ventricular tachycardia or ventricular fibrillation? An implantable cardioverter defibrillator, or ICD. So thanks for listening to this episode of Questions on Cardiology. That completes all of the cardiology questions, and the next episode will be part one of endocrinology questions. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. If you do like these questions, I highly recommend heading over to members.zerotofinals.com, where you can find these questions in a written format, as well as many other questions and flashcards and other resources to help you track your learning, find out your strengths and weaknesses, and prepare for exams. And I'll see you in the next episode, where we'll move on to endocrinology questions.